But to begin with, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here once again, that we can find our rest in you. We can find that peace that only comes from you. That no matter what is happening around us, no matter how it looks, that you are with us and that you will take us through, that you will provide for us, and you will strengthen us as we need strength, as we surrender our lives to you. So please, Lord, bless us with your Holy Spirit here today as we open your word to see you in your scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so question for you. This might sound kind of silly. Who wrote the book of Daniel? Daniel? Well, Daniel did write the book of Daniel, but he didn't write the whole book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 4. That's right. Because Nebuchadnezzar, I believe that Daniel had maybe influenced Nebuchadnezzar that, you know, after his conversion, that you need to share this. You need to share this with everyone. So what was Babylon? It was the kingdom that was ruling the world at the time. And so everybody was looking into Babylon. And when Nebuchadnezzar starts out here in verse 1, and what we're going to do is we're going to read the whole chapter of Daniel 4. Because you have to understand the full context of what I'm going to share. And there's going to be some comments as we go through the chapter. But it just amazes me as I look at the beginning of this, because in verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Now, what a change, because this was not Nebuchadnezzar's character to begin with as we start out in the book of Daniel. But this is where God led him. And it says, verse 2, I thought it good to show the signs and the wonders that the high God, capital G, the high God, hath wrought toward me. And how great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. This is Nebuchadnezzar's change. And I ask you this question. Do you have this same testimony for God? Are you willing to show how great and marvelous are his wonders? Are you willing to show his signs and to share with others what God has done for you? This is exciting to me. This is exciting. And now Nebuchadnezzar tells his dream that he had. He's given his testimony here. So he's going to kind of be talking in third person here. But it's amazing. In verse 4, it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. Pause. Nebuchadnezzar was flourishing in his palace. Can you relate to that? You say, well, I don't have a palace. Do you have a home? Do you have something that you're living in that you've invested your life into? And it says in verse 5, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. I don't know about you guys, but when I go to bed, my brain is just kind of rolling and thinking of things. And a lot of times that's when God really speaks, is when you're laying there before you fall asleep. And Nebuchadnezzar was there, and he had these thoughts, and they troubled him. And this is a mighty warrior guy. I mean, his whole life has been in battles, you know, and he's made Babylon what it is. But he has these troubled thoughts. Verse 6, it says, therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. They did not make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. How often we go to the world for our answers. You know, Nebuchadnezzar has had an experience before this. And if you go back to chapter 2 of Daniel, and we see this experience that he had and how he didn't remember the dream on that one. And he called in these same people. He says, you need to tell me the dream because I don't remember it. Well, they couldn't. They said, there's nobody that requests that kind of thing. It's like only the gods that aren't from here can answer that. And he ordered a decree to go out to kill them all because they couldn't. But then there was Daniel, and there was his three friends. And they ended up praying, and that dream was answered. And Nebuchadnezzar started to understand that there is a God in heaven that can answer prayers, that can answer dreams. But here, again, he calls in the wise men first. And I find this amazing because, and I think it's really righteous on their part because they said, oh, king, we can't answer this dream. And they would have been foolish to try and answer it because they know in the past that Daniel had answered the dream that they didn't even know what it was. And so they're not altogether stupid here. So they know if they say something, and he's going to probably call on Daniel anyway, that they would be cutting their heads off before their time. So here in verse 8 it says, but at the last, Daniel came in before me. Now notice that Nebuchadnezzar is calling him Daniel. But as he's telling this dream, his testimony here, he does refer to him as Belteshazzar because that's what he called him back then, because that was the name they'd given him. So it says here, but at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, little g, my God. That's where he was at that time. And in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream. Verse 9, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. See, he didn't have an understanding totally here, but he had an idea. And no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions in my head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree. This is verse 10. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. Pretty much covers everything, right? The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all the flesh was fed of it. I saw in the vision of my head and upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. Can you imagine this? Can you envision this? What's going on here? And he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off the branches. You've probably never ever thought of this, but there are loggers in heaven. They cut down this tree and cut off its branches. But they had a better purpose. And it says, to shake off his leaves and scatter its fruit, let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from under his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth. Even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. And the next verse is our verse that we had in the bulletin there, that let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. You know, I thought it really interesting that Brett had this story on these beasts and how this relates to this story here. And as you'll see as we move on in this, it's really amazing. And actually, I even saw in the song that we were singing, there was a line in there, and it had to do with pride and coming out of these things. So God just prepares the way, you know. So it says, till seven times Passover. In verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Now I'm going to pause there because I want to read you something out of Patriarchs and Prophets. Or Prophets and Kings, excuse me. This is 536. It says, the history of nations speaks to us today. To every nation and to every individual, God has assigned a place in his great plan. Today, men and nations are being tested by the plummet in the hand of him who makes no mistakes. No mistakes. All are by their own choice deciding their destiny. And God is overruling all for the accomplishment of his purposes. The prophecies which the great I Am has given in his word, uniting link after link in the chain of events, from eternity in the past to eternity in the future, tell us where we are today in the procession of the ages and what may be expected in the time to come. Prophecy is very, very important, and it's very important that we understand God and his word, and that we see, you know, the thing that really amazes me is as we go through the scriptures, that Jesus is all the way through, and you're going to see this in this story today. It's absolutely amazing. So verse 18, this dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Again, small g here. So here Daniel interprets the dream now. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. You notice he says was Belteshazzar in the past. Was astonished for 1 hour. So Daniel was a little bit nervous about this. This is the king. The king is not totally converted. He's got a long ways to go. But Daniel is not going to hold back what God has given him. And so his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. So he's trying to comfort Daniel and encourage him to tell me, it's okay. I'm not going to do away with you here yet. So Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew, was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth. It's a visual. You know, it kind of makes me think a little bit about Revelation chapter 1, and when every eye shall see Jesus when he comes. But this is a little bit different here. But it says here that the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. So all were dwelling in and under this tree. And then Daniel goes on to say, it is thou, O king. It is you, Nebuchadnezzar, that are grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. So he might have been thinking, yeah, that's me. That's me for sure, because I've done all this. But then he goes on and says, whereas the king saw the watcher and the Holy One coming down from the heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump and thy roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation. O king, this is the decree of the Most High, which come upon my Lord the King. Daniel is very respectful. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. This is not what he wanted to hear. And they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, and after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. It's not you, O king, it's the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So Daniel here is saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, thy sins have reached unto heaven. This tree has reached unto heaven. You are this tree, and thy sins have reached to heaven. And God is in control here, and he's going to do something here. But if you make the right decisions, you could extend your tranquility here a while longer. And so as we go on here in verse 28, it says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar, and at the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. So 12 months later, a year later, a time, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the words were in his mouth, in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were growing like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. So he became what? A beast. He became a beast by his own choice, because he had an option. You know, as we look at this seven times, a time is a year, and seven times we're going to pass over him. So he was going to be this animal for 7 years. Seven is a perfect and complete number. And as we go back to the book of Genesis and we look at creation, you have 6 days of creation and the seventh day, Sabbath, the day of rest. So you have this perfect, complete cycle of time to begin with. And that cycle of time has never been broken. It's honored all over the world. That's what people go by, is the 7 day, the weekly cycle, this perfect cycle of time. And because this number is so perfect, we can even look at 70 years that the children of Israel were going to go into bondage, into Babylon, for another complete cycle of time. Because whatever God is in, whatever he's doing in a time period, it's a perfect, complete cycle of time. And so they had so much time to do what they're supposed to do. Then the 70 weeks started after Babylon, when Medo-Persia came in. And again, 70 weeks, that was 490 years, a day for a year in prophecy. And also, it was, as you look at Jesus, when he was talking to disciples, Peter asked him, how many times do we forgive? 7 times? And Jesus said, 70 times 7, which is adds up to 490. And that was the 490 years that he was giving them to repent, to come back to him, and to be reestablished as his eyewitnesses. So, and that was a complete, perfect cycle of time. So, with that information, we're going to stop right here in this story. There's 4 verses left, and we're going to come back to this at the end of the message. But what I'd like you to go to now is Genesis chapter 1. Let's take a look at this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. You can see it up on the screen as well. Still hear some pages turning. So Genesis 1, 26. And God said, when God speaks, we need to listen. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So Nebuchadnezzar was made a beast. He became a beast. And as we look at chapter 1, verse 26 here, what we see here is that there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of man, and there's the kingdom of animals. So man was made, it says, in the image of God. And he had dominion over all the animals, right? Over all the animal kingdom. And as we look at this, we see the beast of the sea, we see the beast of the earth, and we see the beast of the air. All three of those are in that verse. So when man sinned, it was a creature or a serpent that comes to Eve and says, you can be like God. Well, wait a minute. They were already like God. They were made in the image of God. But Satan adds a little more to it. You can be like God in different ways. Paraphrasing. So when man sinned, they lost the image of God, correct? Are you following this? And began to reflect the image of the beast. Began to reflect the image of the beast. They began to reflect the animal nature. So when Cain killed his brother Abel, that's animalistic. And what happened before the flood, that was animalistic. The reason the flood came was because man's heart was evil continually. So ever since sin, we've had two natures warring, fighting within us. Do you agree? That which reflects the image of God, and the other, the animal nature, that we're supposed to have dominion over. And now man no longer has dominion over the beast from the sea, or the beast of the earth, or the beast of the air. He lost this dominion. So Daniel uses the beast description as he explains in the book of Daniel, the lion and the bear and the leopard. These are all beasts, descriptions of nations, of powers. I got a watch going off here. So he is saying that man has become animalistic. The nature of man has totally flipped. You're no longer in the image of God. So when Nebuchadnezzar is turned into a beast, God, he is literally saying, is this what you want? Is this what you want, young people in our church? Is this what you want, old people in our church? Everybody, is this what you want, this animal nature? What God is saying is that the gospel is God restoring in man the dominion over the beast, over the beast. Because I'm speaking to myself up here as well. Because every one of us has a beastly nature within us. Do you agree? If you're not of Christ, but in Christ, old things pass away, all things become new. In Christ, you now have dominion over the beast. Amen? That is promising. Because at the end of time, you now have three powers. You have the beast from the sea, which is the papacy, as we study prophecy. You now have the beast of the earth, which is the United States. You now have the beast of the air, which behind that is Satan himself, the dragon. And they are trying to get power over God's people to have total dominion. That's what Satan's trying to do, have total dominion over us. He never stops. He never rests. He's continually trying to corrupt us, to get us discouraged, to pull us down. God says, if you learn what it means to be in me, in him, you will have dominion over these beasts. You don't have to fear. What does God tell us in Revelation 14, in verse 7? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. So there is a practical lesson here. You don't have to be like the beast, Nebuchadnezzar. You don't have to be like a beast, Jeff. You don't have to be like a beast. Put your name in there. Stop. Stop being a beast. Because I, God, am trying to make you into my image once again. I'm recreating in you the image that I began with. And there is a lesson behind this. When we look at these beasts, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, and the dragon, we see some attributes here. The lion means veracity. That represented Babylon, veracity. And the bear tells us in chapter 7 of Daniel, the bear is devouring flesh. Devouring flesh, and that's a symbol of Medo-Persia. And the leopard, which is a symbol of Greece, represents speed or camouflage. And the dragon, it breaks in pieces. It breaks in pieces, representing Rome and then into papal Rome. So if these characteristics are in us, guess what? We are part of the beast. We are part of the beast, part of the system. The lamb-like beast with the horns looks like a lamb. Looks like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. Does that sound familiar? How many of us walk around in the image of the beast? We don't want to be, but if we are walking around with the mark of the beast, yeah, I know. The mark of the beast comes at the end of time. But there is a preparation for the mark of the beast. There is a preparation for the mark. So if we are walking around with a sign of the beast or characteristics of the beast, remember when we started out in the book of in this chapter, and Nebuchadnezzar was giving praise to God? He talked about the signs and the wonders, you know, that we should be giving. This is the total opposite. Are we producing the right signs, the right characteristics? And if this is happening in our lives, then we need to fall on our knees and we need to ask God for forgiveness and surrender our hearts to God. So, now, the root of the problem. What is the root of the problem? And as we look at Nebuchadnezzar and his story, what is the root of the problem? Is it our neighbor? Is it our job? Is it our husband, our wife? Is it the government? Some family member out there? No. I heard the word pride. Pride is the root of all of our problems. Okay? So, some people say that Christ is a crutch. And these people that say this are people that are so proud. They don't need a crutch. We are strong. We can stand on our own two feet. We don't need a crutch. Well, I'm here to tell you that God is not a crutch, but that God is a total life support system. Because without God, we are going to die. And Satan's system is a life-destroying system, okay? I don't know about you, but I want to hook up to a total life support system. So this tree Nebuchadnezzar, is Nebuchadnezzar, and it represents his kingdom. And he says, Nebuchadnezzar, my kingdom's going to last forever. He proved that was in his mind in Daniel chapter 3 when he built this complete image of gold. And he made everybody bow down to worship this and all gold. That wasn't what the dream was about. The dream did not say it was all gold. But in his mind, my kingdom is not going to end. And in people's minds, we think we're strong. You know, that we can do this on our own. But they can't. But God says, no, that tree is not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever, but there is another tree that will last forever. And God says, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be looking at verses 31 and 32. So Matthew 13, 31 and 32. And it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and cometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in its branches thereof. Does this sound familiar? Very familiar. But this is a different tree. So there's another kingdom coming that is symbolized by another tree. The tree of Calvary. Death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. The mustard seed goes into the ground and dies and then grows into a great tree. That tree parallels the death of Christ. Now, keep this in mind. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 4 And we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 10. But also, I want you to put your finger back. Well, we're going to be referring to Daniel at the same time. Because now watch this, what happens. In the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, I guess I better get there first. So, what Satan comes to Jesus to tempt him in the wilderness, right? And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Did you know that in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, that temptation of appetite, appetite was a huge thing because Daniel and his three friends refused to drink the wine of Babylon and to eat the king's meat. So here you have a parallel at the beginning of Christ's ministry and the beginning of the book of Daniel. But it goes on. So let's read the next one. In verse 5, it says, "Then the devil taketh them up into a holy city and setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Daniel 2 was about a great image in this dream. And in it was down at the feet, it was clay and iron. And there was a stone cut out of the mountain that came and hit the statue, this image, this power, and totally destroyed it by hitting it in the feet. Thou shalt, you know what? We don't want that stone to hit us. We need to fall upon that stone before it falls upon us. So here you have in Daniel 1, Daniel 2, the first two temptations in Christ of Christ in the wilderness. And then it goes on. And it says that, again, in verse 8, it says, "The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And what did Jesus say? "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Daniel chapter 3, we talked about it. Satan made this, not Satan, well, he was behind it. Nebuchadnezzar had this big image, all of gold, and he forced all people to bow down and worship the image of the beast. Three didn't. Daniel wasn't there at the time. So this is amazing because now, you know, that's the beginning of Christ's ministry in the wilderness. And it's also the beginning of Christ's ministry in the first three books, chapters of Daniel. But in Daniel 4, we have the cross, the tree. So here you have the beginning of the ministry, of his ministry in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And in chapter 4, you have the end of his ministry, of his earthly ministry as a man. And then he proceeds to heaven to move through the heavenly sanctuary. So the book of Daniel not only shows us what will happen at the end of time, but Daniel is actually living out the life of Christ through Daniel 1 through 4. Christ is all through it. You know, that's the beauty of how God put together his holy word, is so that we can see him all the way through as we dive deeper into his word. So God is calling Nebuchadnezzar out of his craziness, right? And God is calling us out of our craziness, out of these animal natures. He's rebuilding his image within us. So at this point, I would like to go back to Daniel chapter 4, and we're going to read the last four verses of this message. Verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. Have you experienced that? Is it the joy of the Lord in your heart to where you can't hold it back? That you want to share this with all? To give all praise and honor to him that liveth forever, that has dominion in ever and everlasting dominion. And all the inhabitants of the earth, verse 35, are reputed as nothing. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven. This is Nebuchadnezzar speaking here, remember. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what dost thou? What doest thou? This man just came out from being a beast for 7 years, crawling around eating grass, and he was an animal. How long have we been animals? So at the time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, in verse 36, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. So what does that sound like? Total restoration? If God is in the business of restoring us, was Nebuchadnezzar restored? So look at our lives. Look at our lives. Measure where you are with God. You know, we can't change us, but God can change us if we are in Christ. He can change us because it's him, it's Christ that does it. Now the last verse. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in what? Pride. He is able to abase. Let me tell you, there is not one single soul in this world that God is not able to abase when that person surrenders his life. John the Baptist says, repent and be baptized. Peter says on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized. And God is telling us to repent and be baptized in the Spirit. We are longing for the Holy Spirit to come and to fall upon us in a mighty way, the latter rain. And I pray that you and I, this church, can be a light in this community to take the word and share it with the world. So a little plug here. If you'd like to know more about this stuff, come visit us at the thrift store on Tuesday nights at 5:30. Because we are actually going through Daniel right now. We're a little bit further than this. But we go through Daniel. We go through Revelation. And when we get through Daniel, we just start all over Revelation. And we go through it again. And there are some things that you've probably never heard in your life that come through in that study. And there are many here that are going through that study or have been through it. And what we would really love to do is start other groups, and that this message can be like on fire. You know, God is in the business of making us fireproof for his glory. All right, we'll have our closing song.
Please stand with us for our closing hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King, number 2.